Let me tell you a story of some years ago. It was a Friday night during the winter of 1998. And Raquel and I, our kids were young, and I recall calling me at work, asking me to meet them after work at this one restaurant in Mentor. And so we got together that night after work, and the kids were there, and Raquel was there, and we discussed that night about this little tiny black kitten that had wandered its way into our garage and planted itself into some old towels and some sheets to keep herself warm, and who my kids and Raquel were feeding without me knowing. So they proceeded to tell me about this little tiny kitten and how cute she was and how she came in out of the cold and it was winter and all of that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, we already have a cat. We really don't need another one. We have two dogs. And trying to figure out a way to say no to the kids, I asked them, what would they name the cat? And anyone who has kids, if you've ever asked them to name a pet, you know, you get all these really silly names and kind of stuff, so I figured this would be kind of good. And someone said Whiskers, and someone said Cobweb, because I guess she was found with cobwebs all over her, and a few other strange names. But then one of them, I think it was my oldest son, John, he said the name Hope. And this struck me. And I remember asking him why that name, and he said, well, because she came into our garage, it was cold, it was snowy, she had wandered away, I guess, from her family, didn't know where she was going, it was a winter night, and she was hoping to find warmth and food and love. And so, on that night, we adopted Hope into our family, and she stayed with us for another 14 or 16 years or so. But let's talk about another time and another story about Hope. The news then was all about war. It was about conflict and battles fought and soldiers and civilians killed. A great army encircled this ancient city, and the news was about siege and surrender. The city was Jerusalem, and the army was the army of Babylon, the ancestor to modern-day Iraq. It was the 6th century BC, and Jerusalem would fall and its people would be sent into exile, and Israel would be occupied until a more powerful force came along. But the real news was not news of war. Wars in this region had been going on for centuries, and the real news was being recorded by a distressed, gentle man named Jeremiah. The news he recorded, the good news that he spoke for God, is what we heard in our first reading. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Hope. That is the good news from another time. Now come forward another 6 centuries to the land of Israel and Palestine. It was occupied by the most powerful military force in the world at the time, Rome. And even as a sense of peace prevailed between the nations of the Roman Empire, there was news of war on the edges of the empire. The news was of war and rumors of war. But once again, the news of war was not the real news. John was recording the real news. The real news, the good news, is what we heard in the gospel today. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The good news, the announcement that Jesus' hour had come, was not expressed in millions of words. Instead, it was said in a simple, humble metaphor, a grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. A simple grain of wheat, a symbol that is humble yet powerful, another message of hope. Today, the news is again of war, battles, and countries and cities besieged. Gaza and Israel, Russia, the Ukraine, Ethiopia, Haiti, the Sudan, and even right here in northeastern Ohio, with all the killings and other senseless violence that takes place in our own communities. Our media is filled with the news of war and pain. But once again, the good news does not come to us through the usual media. It comes through the medium of a metaphor, a grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies in the promise of hope. Now, I've placed at both exits, there's a basket over here and there's a tray over here, these little tiny cups with little grains of wheat in them to remind us that the real news on this fifth Sunday of Lent, the real news, the good news, as we again approach the season of Easter, is conveyed through a grain of wheat. Soon we will be invited again to enter more deeply into the mystery of Christ dying and rising. The grains of wheat here in front of us can carry the message far more eloquently than I ever could. The news mediated by these grains of wheat is this: the new covenant spoken of by Jeremiah has been realized in Jesus. Jesus is the new covenant now written in our hearts, all of our hearts. He is our hope and our promise. Jesus is the grain of wheat that fell to the ground. Like the grain of wheat, Jesus accepts his suffering and death willingly. He falls to the ground simply because the Father willed it. And from that surrender to death comes new life. New life for us. That surrender produces the fruit that is Christ's church. We are that fruit, all of us. We receive that life. That is the real news, the good news. And then Jesus goes on and says that God's name is glorified when we imitate the grain of wheat in our lives. And then we hear the words spoken again from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." How will it be glorified again? Well, certainly at the resurrection, but there's another way in which God's name is glorified. It is glorified in your life and mine. Whenever we become like a grain of wheat through self-denial, detachment, and self-sacrificing mission to others, even when we are persecuted for what we believe, new life emerges and God is glorified. We really have no choice but to imitate these grains of wheat. Through our baptism, we have become part of Christ. We are deeply rooted in Christ, intimately so. We cannot be separated from him. Christ's life is now within us. We cannot avoid imitating his surrender to God. For some, that surrender happens quickly. For most of us, it takes a lifetime and more. But knowing that it will happen gives us hope. And so the good news today is written. It's written in our hearts. It is Christ. His presence there gives us hope and assures us that the good news, not the news of the world, will prevail. So I invite you after Mass to come and take one of these little cups of wheat from the basket in the bowl or tray, and let them be a remedy for the feverish news of war in the world. Let them remind you of Christ who went down into the ground like a grain of wheat so that we might have life, and let that give you courage and hope that the good news of Christ will in time replace the news that's so depressing of this world. God bless.